Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, The Fact Organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crimes. Chicagoland, we are privileged to interview a very esteemed guest, Ms. Karen Tamley, Commissioner, Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, City of Chicago. Welcome to the program, Commissioner.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off with you telling our audience a little bit about your background.
Sure. I was born with my disability, and I've used a wheelchair all of my life. And the role that I'm in now is certainly one of the most rewarding positions I've ever been in, as I'm really able to effectuate change on behalf of people with all types of disabilities that live or visit Chicago. I came to this by way of work in the disability community. Ever since I graduated from college, I kind of worked in different positions, both in the legal field, in the nonprofit field, in advocacy, in management, all with a focus around disability issues. And so I am truly honored to have been able to dedicate my life to advancing opportunities for people with disabilities.
Well, we are proud that you have a presidential appointment as a public board member to the United States Access Board. And this was since September of 2015, so it's relatively recent. And the U.S. Access Board is a federal agency that promotes equality for people with disabilities through leadership and accessible design and the development of accessibility guidelines and standards for the built environment, transportation, communication, medical diagnostic equipment, and information technology. So what do you do in this role?
Well, I'm very honored to have been appointed by President Obama this past summer. And in this role, we really kind of oversee the work of the Access Board that develops, as you said, standards and regulations around a variety of accessibility laws. They were the organization that really developed the standards that are now under the ADA, the federal government really looks to the Access Board as the body that develops these standards. And so a great deal of research and time and you know, writing and vetting a set of standards can take a very, very long time. And that's much of the work of the agency. They also do a lot of trainings and free webinars on very specific disability issues, as well as technical assistance to the general public, to developers, architects, any kind of business owner, and so they handle a lot of calls as well. And then they also take complaints under the Architectural Barriers Act, which was an act put into place in the late 1960s that really covered federal buildings only. And this was pre-ADA, but that law is still relevant, and people still do file complaints under the Architectural Barriers Act. So they're the body that investigates those complaints.
Well, you mentioned ADA. Now, this has been a historic year for ADA. Tell us, what is ADA?
Well, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, was the most significant civil rights law enacted protecting the rights of people with disabilities. It was put into law in 1990. By then President George H.W. Bush. And this year we just celebrated the 25th anniversary. So it was a very milestone year for our community. As many of you may know, the ADA protects people with disabilities in the areas of employment, public accommodations, government programs and services, telecommunications, and again, it really sets out how, you know, everything from how buildings are constructed to what individuals' rights are in the workplace. And we had a great initiative over the last year in Chicago, really celebrating, commemorating the ADA and also raising the visibility of people with disabilities and issues impacting the community.
Well, Chicagoland, many of us take public transportation, and Commissioner Tamley sits as a board director of the Pace Suburban Bus.
Yep. Pace Suburban Bus, right, exactly. I am on the board representing the paratransit riders in the city of Chicago. So in 2006, Pace took over the paratransit services from the Chicago Transit Authority, and it's now a regional service. While the board is comprised of mostly suburban mayors or former mayors, there wasn't any representation at the time of the city of Chicago. And so that's really the role that I play. I'm sure, you know, a lot of your ridership, your listenership might be using paratransit or a certain segment of it. And, you know, I am honored to be in this position and to advocate on behalf of the needs of the disability community and also to hear what your concerns are about the service. I often get calls and complaints. So I'm always happy to hear those, but also, you know, what you like about the system is also very helpful too. You know, transportation is really absolutely critical for the disability community, and so this is a position that I really value.
Well, Commissioner Tamley, you offer so much to the greater Chicagoland area. We are just so proud that you are in the position that you have held since 2005 here.
Thank you, yeah.
Can you give us an overview of what the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities, or as we know it, MOPD, does? What do we offer the public?
Sure. Well, first, we provide a variety of disability-related services. So we do everything from information referral, meaning we take phone calls from approximately 24,000 people a year. We handle walk-ins, people needing assistance in kind of all aspects of their life. We also do direct employment services. So we help folks, particularly who are on SSI or SSDI disability benefits, go back to work or go to work for the first time. So we do a lot of counseling and benefits analysis for them. We modify homes to be accessible. We provide grant funds to do that. So making kitchens, bathrooms, front entryways accessible. we also do a lot of accessibility compliance. So we are the compliance office for the city of Chicago. So to the extent that, you know, the city of Chicago is needing to do more to increase accessibility or disability inclusion, that's really our role. We also review plans and permits that come in for accessibility. So a building that might come in to get a permit, they have to go through our office to make sure that it's compliant with federal, state, and local accessibility codes. We have a policy department where we work on a variety of initiatives. We make sure that the disability voice is included into any kind of information service that is being rolled out by the city. And we work on a variety of initiatives. So everything from emergency planning and making sure that the disability community is represented in those plans, to accessible taxi cabs, to employment issues. You name it, we're working on it. And we also serve as a resource to other city departments on how to be more inclusive and accessible for people with disabilities.
Well, one question that I've had from one of our listeners is for you to elaborate a little bit on the Amplified Phone, TTY, and CapTel program that the city offers.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That is, we are one of many distribution sites around the state of Illinois, and we provide free landline amplified phones for individuals that are hard of hearing. So if anyone you know is having difficulty using the phone because of hearing loss, we can provide that phone at no cost. You just need to contact our office, and we can help advise you and show you a set of phones, and you can select the one that best meets your need, and it will be sent to your house.
Wonderful. Now, you know, employment for the disabled community is much higher than for the general public. And you mentioned that you have training services. Could you elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Sure. Employment is certainly a big issue. I think I mentioned the work incentive planning and assistance grant that we've had for about 13 years from the Social Security Administration, where we work with SSI and SSDI beneficiaries on going back to work. We do a lot of employment readiness also with students in the Chicago Public Schools on, interviewing skills, resume writing. We help them. We set up job shadowing opportunities for them every spring. And this summer, we're doing a pilot program to get 50 high school students with disabilities paid summer internships through the city and county program. And so we're really active on making sure that people with disabilities are represented in these employment programs that are being offered by the city. We're also doing some work with the Chicago Cook Workforce Board, too, to make sure that our community is also part of the work that they are doing, both in terms of, our workforce centers accessible, what can we be doing more to get our youth with disabilities engaged in employment opportunities. So there's a lot of employment work that we've been doing.
Wonderful. Now, there's a special event coming up soon. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. That is our biannual expo called EXA Chicago. And EXA Chicago will be held on July 13th, 2016, Navy Pier Festival Hall A, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to feature disability products and services, resources. We're going to have a free health pavilion, which will do health screenings. We have fun things like activities for kids, raffle prizes, entertainment. It's just going to be an all-around great day. It is free and open to the public. We'd love to have you come and bring your family. If you want to learn more about it, you can go to our website at cityofchicago.org/MOPD to find out more.
Wonderful. Now, speaking of family life, because of course, on July the 13th, this is open to the general public, and it's a fun family day for everyone, and we want everyone to come out. But we have Mother's Day coming up before then, and it would not be appropriate for us to overlook the fact that we've got one of the greatest mothers in our studio with us today.
Thank you.
So, Miss Karen Tamley, I want you to put on your hat as wife and mother, and mm-hmm. tell us about your private life.
Sure. I'm married. I have been married for about 14 years now, and my husband and I adopted a 5-month-old baby girl back in 2006 that has some significant disabilities. She's now in fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
So,
that
yeah.
That went so fast.
It sure did. So it's great. And, she loves school. She's in the school play this year.
Mm-hmm.
She's just has personality, to go all around. She's just mm-hmm. she's just a wonderful, wonderful little girl, and it's just such an honor to be a parent.
Yes, indeed. And I want to ask you, you have built a rich family life. What advice can you give our audience who has disabilities? What did mm-hmm. your mom tell you that was significant as you were growing up? And what do you share with your daughter and as you mentor so many others?
Yeah, I grew up with my disability, and I think the great thing, and I always attribute the reason that I'm here, is because my mom didn't treat me any different than my sister that did not have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
She held very high expectations, and I do the same thing with my daughter. I don't let her off the hook just because she has a disability.
Mm-hmm.
She still has to do chores and get her homework done and be accountable for her things and manage her allowance and all kinds of things like that. And so I think that's one of the things is just holding your kids to the highest expectations that you can, and also working to get them the resources that they need, because I think a lot of kids with disabilities unfortunately don't get adequate resources or appropriate resources, and I think that's something really to make sure that you're giving to your child. I think that's so important, and that's something that my mom was always doing, and researching and talking to people and getting me involved in different activities and things like that, that really kind of broadened my horizons and gave me really the foundation for where I am today.
I know in my situation, because I do have a child with a disability as well,
mm-hmm.
that for us it's very important to take a team approach. As you said, get others involved,
mm-hmm.
Work with the medical community, mm-hmm. the educational community,
yeah.
but also help develop interests for your child,
mm-hmm.
so that they can branch out and develop things that they want to do later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And exposing them to new things and new opportunities. And, you kind of got to follow the lead of your child. And
mm-hmm.
Just because it doesn't interest you doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's what interests them. And
right.
you got to go with that and support that. And
right.
so, absolutely.
So expose them to the athletics and the sports and the music and the dance, all the things
mm-hmm.
that you would do
mm-hmm.
for a child without a disability.
Yeah. Right.
And they may be a STEM
mm-hmm.
proponent,
mm-hmm.
that they want science and technology,
mm-hmm.
which is so prevalent today.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that I, as a mom, would suggest is that the exposure and then the support system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right on.
And how were you able to reach this American dream? Who were your inspirations?
Oh, wow. I think my parents, like I said, certainly set me on the path. I honestly did not have a script for myself in my life, and I
mm-hmm.
didn't think I would achieve this.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really kind of bank on this as part of my life's journey. I think it's just different people I met along the way and being open to new ideas and new people. And I met my husband doing disability rights work, and we both shared not just that passion, but we shared a lot of other interests in life.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually grew up really close to each other, even though in another state, even though we didn't know each other. And so that kind of bonds us too. I just think keeping yourself open to ideas and, you know, just realizing that, you know, just because you think something won't happen doesn't mean it's not going to happen. You know, because I honestly never thought I was going to get married. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was going to do. And, sure. You know, things just happen and you got to go with it. And, you know, and then my husband and I decided we wanted to have a kid, but, you know, we were very interested in adopting and that's the route we took. And so, you know, I guess I would just say leave yourself open, get out there, meet people. You know, I had different, I think being in the disability community helped me see other role models of, you know, other women that were married and had kids. And so that was helpful because I didn't really have that growing up. I didn't really see other people that looked like me that, you know, I could envision. And that's probably why I didn't have a script or a vision because I never saw that. And so I think that's, you know, another benefit is there's certain, you know, benefit to community and being part of the disability community. And getting that support that you need. And, you know, when my daughter, when we adopted my daughter, I joined a support group for parents with disabilities. And that was extremely helpful for me in terms of navigating, like, okay, I use a wheelchair. How do I, what kind of a crib do I use? How do I pick her up? What are the different ways I can, you know, get her stroller down the street? And so I learned all these different ways to make that happen. And so, you know, I think it's also about finding, like, figuring out what kind of support you need and then seeking that, whether it's formal or informal.
Right. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
And I want you to just take a minute and share with our audience your rich history of advocacy, because you started when you were in college.
Yeah, well, I went to UC Berkeley, which is kind of known as the hotbed of activism, right? And that's really where the disability rights movement gave birth. I met some of the kind of what we call the grandparents of the disability rights movement, the Judy Heumann and Ed Roberts, and many of them that were back in Berkeley at the time. I had the opportunity to meet them. But I wasn't particularly involved in disability issues. I was a psychology major. I had no idea what I wanted to do after college. But from there, I actually did an internship in Washington, D.C., one on the Hill. And then I also had a friend of mine who was doing an internship at a mental health organization that shared space with a disability rights lawyer. And so I ended up just writing him a letter and just say, hey, I'm graduating from college and do you need an intern? And he came and met with me and I did a 6-month, I moved to Washington, D.C. I learned everything that I needed to know really about the disability rights movement from him. He sent me to conferences and protests and demonstrations and you name it, and had me speak on panels, you know, just out of college, even though I didn't feel ready to do that, and kind of threw me into the fire. And that's really what started my career in disability rights, was just having someone that I work for that just said, okay, you're going to go do this. You're going to speak on this panel for me on the ADA. And, you know, what did I know as a college graduate? I didn't know how to do any of this, but it forced me to learn and to learn a lot about my own community that I didn't know about in college.
And you had a unique voice as well.
Yeah.
You were speaking from your heart.
Yes. Yeah. And so there I got to know people like all around the country in the disability rights movement. And unfortunately, the lawyer who I was working for, he died while I was working for him. And so then we needed to close the office because it was only myself and one other employee. And so we both kind of looked for other jobs. And from there, I moved to Denver and worked as a disability rights advocate, doing kind of more activism and around different issues. I worked a lot in the area of housing and mortgage lending for people with disabilities. We negotiated some really major lending programs for people with disabilities. And that kind of set me in the area of becoming more of a policy person in the area of housing. In 96, I moved to Chicago and took a job at Access Living, doing housing policy work and fair housing trainings. And things like that. And then I was promoted to the director of programs and got a lot of management experience. And so that was pretty much of a management position in terms of, you know, managing grants and staff and programs and things like that. And so that kind of really brought in my breadth of experience and led me really to where I am today, which, you know, involves both kind of vision, but how to execute and implement programs and work with other departments, as well as managing, you know, a 28 staff department and things like that. And so I think all of my different jobs I've had have kind of built up and laid the foundation for where I am today.
Definitely building blocks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know, you've been in this position since 2005. How has your office evolved in serving the disabled community in the Chicago area?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we are very conscious of, you know, making sure that we're meeting the needs of people with all types of disabilities, being cross disability. That's been kind of a really constant focus of our department. Increasing community engagement. I think one of the things I like about being in this position as long as I've had is that you're really able to see the progress that you've been able to make. Mm-hmm. And so like when you start out, you know, fresh and new, you have an idea based on your own experiences. This is how I'd like to change the city. But it takes a long time. I mean, some initiatives that I've worked on take like 4 years to do mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. And so I think, you know, I've really been able to kind of see some of these things come to fruition. And I think the visibility of the department has been raised amongst not just other city departments, but other organizations throughout the city and nationally. Mm-hmm. That we've really become kind of a model as a department. In terms of, you know, I don't know any other mayor's office for people with disabilities where the commissioner is appointed by the mayor. Well, there are others, but is also as large as we are, that provides both services and does policy and advocacy work. And one of the things that I've been able to do is I convene a monthly phone call with all the mayor's office for people with disabilities in the major cities. Mm-hmm. So with Boston and New York and LA and San Francisco and Houston and some other cities that we all meet, you know, regularly on the phone, and we talk about issues that are impacting our city or best practices or challenges or, hey, how are you dealing with this issue? And share resources. So it's been great to kind of put our department out there kind of in a broader way. And so I am very proud of a lot of the things that we've been able to accomplish over the last many years that I've been the commissioner.
Well, Chicago, of course, is a national and international tourist attraction. Mm-hmm. And we are just so proud of the fact that our city is so accessible.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And looking at, you know, we're making a big commitment around increasing accessibility to transit that we've made this year. We came out with some new incentives around taxi cab access. We're committing to making the city's CTA rail system accessible in 20 years, which doesn't seems like so far off, but when you're talking about like multi-million dollar investments just to make a station accessible of a mm-hmm. system that's over 100 years old, it's very ambitious. Mm-hmm. We're really doing more at the airports to make them more accessible. We just, the airports put in like an animal relief area, mm-hmm. a second one this past year for travelers with service animals. You know, there's a lot of things that we're doing to try to really increase access for visitors and tourists. We've made a lot of increased access with our cultural events this past year in terms of like having sign language interpreters and assistive listening devices and better raised seating for wheelchair users at events. Now all the Millennium Park film series are now captioned, mm-hmm. and that just started this last year, and we're going to continue that this year. So we're trying to make the city as accessible as we can that will also benefit visitors with disabilities too.
And it even carries over to the neighborhoods mm-hmm. where now it is so easy to access getting on and off curbs Something as simple as that.
Yes. And since I've been there, we've installed over 80,000 ADA compliant curb ramps all around the city. So that's really exciting. Just to see, like I said, that progress. And, you know, we do advise on other city major infrastructure projects to make sure that the accessibility is there for our community.
Well, we only have a minute or so left. Commissioner, what would you like to leave with our audience today?
Oh, gosh. You know, I would say to, gosh, there's so many messages, right?
Right.
You know, to the disability community, you know, there's a lot of resources, there's a lot of opportunities out there. You know, for those of you who are in need of services, please do feel free to contact our office. Please do come to Access Chicago on July 13th. And, you know, I just think that it's out there. People are out there. Look to our community for support and really dream big about what you want to see happen in your own life.
And the website is?
Our website is cityofchicago.org/MOPD.
And the telephone number?
You can call 744-7050, or you can contact 311 if you have any kind of general, you know, issues that you want to raise with the City of Chicago.
We want to thank our very special guest, Commissioner Karen Tambley, Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. And always remember that the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, is here to help build communities and strengthen nations through promoting exemplary public service and volunteerism. Thank you, Chicagoland. Bye now.